Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face.
All right. Algorithm now.
Hey, cuz. You fucking with the algorithm now.
The algorithm.
You fucking with the algorithm now, cuz. God damn, dude.
You dumb.
Oh.
That boy dumb.
Do it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 322. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly ds. This is Maddie Ding Dong.
Good evening. This is Rhett.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that we didn't get the Buenos Tardes.
Deflated right
Buenos
off.
Buenos Tardes. This is psych.
Buenos Tardes.
Yeah, that was.
It's spelled T-A-R-D-I-S.
Oh, like the Who Goes There? No, Who Goes There? Like the Doctor like Who thing?
Like the Who Goes There thing?
The TARDIS?
No, that's,
I never watched
that's Retardis.
Doctor Who.
That's the retard us.
Yeah. There you go. That's good.
Did you ever watch Doctor Who?
No, dude. That shit is far too corny for my taste.
I watched a bit when David Tennant was Doctor Who. I don't know why. I just liked him. I was like, oh, you're...
I just liked him.
There's something about him. I'm like, you're quirky, and I like that.
You're a quirky British fella.
I really like that.
And you travel through time, and you're like, you fucking with the algorithm now, cuz.
You're fucking with space-time now, cuz.
Timey-wimey.
All timey-wimey.
That's damn. Good, though.
So how you been?
Good. Had a fun, busy week. I don't even remember when the last time we recorded was, but I went to a concert. I went to two concerts.
Two of them?
Went and saw the Descendants open up for Rise Against. I do not like Rise Against, and I more so do not like Rise Against fans.
They're bad.
They're bad, dude. There's so many of them. The guy behind me was like all proud that the last show he'd gone to was Chevelle, and I was like, that's a mistake.
That's dope as fuck.
That's a mistake.
I went to see Deftones a couple years, like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, when Chevelle opened for them, huh?
It wasn't Chevelle, it was Deftones and Rise Against touring together.
Oh, yep.
Because Deftones are always so nice. Like, they're open-minded. And, you know, like, Steph, the guitarist, says nice things about Linkin Park. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You know? But anyway, they're just nice guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're touring with Rise Against, and they would trade off who closes. So I went there to see them at Coors Amphitheater here, and Deftones opened. And Rise Against closed.
That's good. So you got to leave without having to see Rise Against.
I got the fuck out of there, but I was looking for the Rise Against fans, and it was very obvious. But get this. Me being me, I showed up to the Deftones show to look like a Deftones fan, wearing black jeans, Doc Martens, and a red flannel. And I'm a bald white guy. And then it occurred to me.
Oh, that's a mistake.
You look like Rise Against. I could feel all of the Hispanic people there for Deftones thinking I had shit taste and was from East County. And I was like, God damn it, man.
Yeah, that's about right.
No, you're about right.
I don't know. I remember liking Rise Against like back when I saw them in 2002. They opened up for Strung Out and Poison the Well.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, these guys are pretty good. They might be something. And then like, they got to be real big, and now they're real bad. But,
all right.
So I did that, and then I went and I saw Amigo the Devil.
You with, sure did.
With George.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, was your fucking homie Rick with you guys, or what?
No, but I did go to Monday Night Raw with Rick.
Who the fuck is he?
He's the dude, the homie Rick.
I need validation he actually exists, or it doesn't happen.
Do you? Because I feel like Rick doesn't owe you anything.
Anywho.
Not from him, from you.
The Amigo show was real fun.
Yep.
Danny heard his voice a little bit the previous night, so he was feeling a little raspy, but he did fantastic as normal.
We talked about hair care products. That was fun.
Nice, wept a little on the inside.
There was this guy that was sitting there that I wanted to punch in the face because he wasn't sitting there for long, and then he would come back, and then he would sit there, and then he would not sit there for long, and I realized how much.
Had a couple shots with Danny, which was nice.
Go to two fucking concerts in a week, and I realized how much I hate people, especially drunk people, especially drunk white bitches.
Oh, that's right.
Like, there was Rhett, so like me and George are sitting there, right? And George has his hands in his lap, and this drunk,
hands in his pants.
This drunk white girl that had been dancing next to him for like an hour comes over and tries to grab both of his hands and get him to stand up to dance. And I'm like, oh, that's a mistake. George is like just shriveling up like the Wicked Witch of the West. He's like, don't touch me.
Yeah, dude, it was bad.
You didn't dance with her?
I did not.
His exact response was, oh, no, 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 no. That was pretty good.
I think I told her, I go, oh, no, wrong guy for that.
Why
did you dance with her, Matt?
Because I don't fucking dance. And also, like, ew, drunk white women. Ew.
You mean she's a old white bitch?
Yeah.
So, old like, white bitch!
So definitely not my type. And also, like, I realized how fucking annoying drunk people are. Like, I realized that before. But this like, was it a just nice gets,
reminder.
It yeah. gets reaffirmed right. all the time.
It's just a little introspective.
Like, oh my God, I can only imagine how fucking drunk I must, or how annoying I must have been when I thought I was charming. And So then That's kind of it. That's my week. I went to go see a movie today, and then there was some asshole in the row in front of me that I threw popcorn at.
Okay. Why'd you throw popcorn at him?
Because he was laughing at unfunny parts of the movie.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That is dope.
So.
But what movie did you see?
The Night House.
You saw it the other day.
Yeah.
And you saw it again.
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's diligent.
Is it?
He thought it was funny? Yeah.
I mean, he was laughing. Too. He was laughing at non-funny parts, so
it's just not funny, dude.
Yeah. What about you, George? How was your week?
It was good. Most same things as you, except for the Rise Against.
Yeah, and the no wrestling.
How was Amigo the Devil?
Good. Yeah, it's always fun to see Danny.
There was the band that opened. What was it? Tejan Street Corner Thieves.
Tejan Street Corner Fellas.
See, I thought it was Tejan because I'm from San Diego and I know how the Spanish language is supposed to sound. And this guy's like, no, it's Tejan. But they had this song called "You Rascal You," and me and George is like, are they saying "You Rascal You" or "I'll Wrestle You"? And I'm like, well, now they're saying "I'll Wrestle You" because that's all I want to hear.
Yeah, I'll Wrestle You. I'll wrestle you. I'll wrestle you. Yeah.
What about you guys? How's your week?
You asked that fucking guy. This guy, you said mostly the same things. You went to meet the devil. What else?
But now I'm asking you.
I also saw a film.
What film? You
know, The Night House.
Oh, you saw that too?
And some asshole threw fucking popcorn at me.
So you're the one he threw popcorn at.
Yeah.
But we didn't know each other. We're in the theater.
Is this for real?
It's a for real true story.
I walk in the theater right when the movie's starting. It's doing the brum pump like that thing.
You're fucking kidding.
No, and I get to the front row, and I think I'm in the front row, and George is right there on the corner, like my crotch in his face, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm here, and then I'm like, oh wait, no, wrong row, and I go behind him. And then he starts fucking laughing like 5 minutes into the movie. I'm like, what's this fucking asshole laughing at? I'm like.
I'll explain it, dude. I'll explain it.
After a couple minutes, I'm like looking and I'm like, I think that's George. And I'm like, he does always sit in the front corner. And I text him and I'm like, yo, you at fashion? No response. And then like, I text him again like 10 minutes later. I'm like, I'm behind you. And then he fucking turns and he looks. That's good.
That was good.
I ate over 2,000 calories worth of popcorn in that one movie.
Yeah, you refilled, didn't you?
Dude.
To satisfy my curiosity,
yeah.
Which theater was this?
Fashion Valley.
Fashion.
Of, like, what the fuck?
I was going to go see it at 6 p.m., but you dickheads kept texting, and my phone was blowing up. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go watch it now.
You know you can turn your phone off,
have
right?
So many I didn't think I was going to have to. Personality disorders, dude. I swear to God. No, but... Just kidding.
No, it's true. It's true.
All right, it's true.
Well, I've got borderline personality disorder.
George and I went over a whole bunch of my foibles the other day.
Oh, why? Why'd you do that?
I think that was a productive conversation.
Yeah. Because he was drunk.
Why is George your sponsor?
Because I was what?
Because he was drunk.
No, I was 100% lucid, buddy.
You were under the influence.
I was 100% lucid.
Okay, but you were under the influence.
No, not at that point.
Three shots of tequila and two beers.
Not at that point.
Bro, that I'm not saying it means you're an alcoholic. I'm saying you're under the influence.
I'm saying you're an alcoholic.
It takes five.
No, no, it was. Look.
If you had nothing to drink for 5 hours, the stuff then you
that,
wouldn't
the,
be.
The things that I was telling Matt.
Had nothing to do with that.
No, no, no. They were all
still
valid.
Under the influence.
He was. That just means his inhibitions were down, so he could be totally honest.
It just
with
means
me.
That he hadn't burned five, the equivalent of five drinks out of his system, unless it was 5 hours in between drinks.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Was there 5 hours in between drinks? And if so, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah, exactly. That's
right,
the,
right,
that's the
right.
Real
that would be stupid. Yeah. That would be stupid. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway,
boy.
What were you telling him?
Oh.
About what?
About.
Oh, just my life and how
life
shitty I am.
No, that's not. No.
You mean.
A little bit about how shitty I am.
I was trying to shake the shit out of him a little bit.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, Matthew?
Yeah.
Any movies, any games?
Well, what about Reds Week?
Did you already know? No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I haven't actually, Jorge.
Sorry.
But if you, you know, were
see,
lucid.
What had happened was George just doesn't care. He doesn't care about you anymore because we've spent so much
Shut
time together
up,
this
man.
Week.
Okay. And Rick.
Okay.
And also Rick.
Yeah, when Rick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rick.
Okay.
Yeah, homie Rick.
Okay.
Did you see on Instagram all the pictures of me and Rick?
No.
Because
there was none.
We were on TV together.
Because he doesn't exist.
He does.
He doesn't exist.
I mean... Does anybody?
Not
to you.
Not really.
If you don't see him, he doesn't exist.
It's all turkey baster juice.
Wow.
But
solipsism, dude.
That's good, right? Everyone goes through. Never mind. No, I had a pretty good week actually. I had to give the big reveal to everyone at work that I was.
Oh, that's right. That was this week.
Yeah, I told everyone on the staff. Told my boss first. Told my buddy Jermaine second. Told the rest
you
of the staff.
You don't have a buddy, Jermaine. Shut the
yes,
fuck up.
I do. He went.
He's
soft.
Like, I do have a black friend.
I didn't even say he's black. What
with
makes
a name like Jermaine?
This
what
is
makes
the guy.
He's black.
That's bro, the guy.
His name is Jermaine.
I was gonna name my son Jermaine. You know. So he went. Anywho. Speaking of which, he went and saw Brother Lynch on Saturday.
You were supposed to go with him.
I was gonna go with him, but then like honestly, he didn't text me, and I didn't text him, and I just took the weekend off. You know what I mean? I took the weekend off. Yeah, I didn't want to interact with anybody else. I wanted to.
So just, you pulled a me.
So there was.
I pulled you's.
So there was no human contact.
I've been pulling you's since high school and calling them me's.
Oh, you pulled a me so many times.
I've been
named
pulling,
five of them.
I've pulled you off. But he sent me a video at like 2 a.m. last Saturday night though, and this is a dude who's been sober like 13 years, but. It was at Diamond Gyms, which is a dive bar, and it was packed.
I can't believe that Brother Lynch was at fucking Diamond Gyms.
It was fucking packed, and he's on the stage with Brother Lynch. And I was like, that would have been kind of fun, actually.
Is Diamond Gyms a place in Chula?
It's a dive bar, dude.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a total dive bar.
Remember we... So after... Oh, my God. We had gone to a band thing, and we had then gone to the Haunted Hotel...
Yeah.
And we went to Diamond Gyms after this. Yes.
Yes.
And it was the fucking guy singing the B-52s.
Oh, I was just telling Sophia.
I've got me a Sophia. Car. It's about 20.
Somebody, hi, like, Sophia.
Love Shock Baby. And we had this. There was this younger Asian dude with us. He's a Filipino kid. He was in drumline.
Alex.
His name was Alex. He's all, what the fuck is he saying? What the fuck is he saying? We're like, shh. Cause this guy looked like he was like challenged, you know.
Wait, that, Alex or
the well, yeah, no, but the guy doing Love Shack, it's like, but if you fuck up on the monotone delivery of Love Shack, it's like this guy's like a big as a whale. It's about to set sail, Love Shack, baby. It was
that William Shatner thing,
yeah, it,
kind of.
That was a
Love Shack,
yeah. What else? What else? I mean, I saw a movie in the theater. I went to the theater, saw a movie,
mm-hmm.
The Night House.
Okay,
did
good.
You throw popcorn at anybody?
I didn't throw popcorn at anybody. We didn't eat any popcorn.
Mm-hmm. We didn't eat anything.
I ate enough popcorn for all three of us, and you ate nachos. I saw it.
Yeah,
it's true.
Oh yeah, I broke the news anyway that I was leaving to the clients.
The clients.
The clients are all pissy with me. No, but they were very gracious and supportive, actually. But they're also, you know, it's been a bittersweet week, honestly. Next week, on Monday, I start the new job.
Fuck those losers, then.
Well, Well, and then I worked.
Well,
and then I worked the other job in the evening for a week. So I'll be doing both.
Why?
I transitioned.
No,
that's a mistake.
We told you.
Wait, you mean in like 4 days or the week after?
4 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'll be working both jobs.
We might not have an episode next week then.
Well, we'll have to schedule.
I told you not to do that.
Yeah, I fly to Chicago on Wednesday.
No, I don't even care about the show.
We'll do it Tuesday.
I care about your mental health.
Yeah. Oh,
don't worry about my mental health. My mental health would be much worse if I left there without things not being properly tied up before I leave. I know you don't understand these things.
You should tell your homie.
I gave a month notice.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
You should tell your homie you're going to wait a week.
See, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. Yeah.
But you also shouldn't be working two jobs at the same time. That's fucked.
For 4 days.
That's still too
single
much.
Single moms fucking do that. I can do it for 4 days.
That's a mistake.
Single mom, dude.
Single moms are on OnlyFans now.
Yeah.
Well, not for long.
No, they're back.
No, they're back.
What, with the porn's back?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You thought OnlyFans was just going to be like, well, we just killed 99% of our market.
Well, that's kind
of
what they said.
Yeah.
Nah, some people were saying that it was like strictly for publicity, but I kind of agree with that. You have Afghanistan, and then right next to it is like OnlyFans.
I'm sorry, what?
Like all the news happening in Afghanistan, obviously, it's like the biggest thing going on in the world right now.
Oh, I don't even.
But then, like the headline right next to that is OnlyFans shutting down porn.
Fuck Afghanistan, man. Yeah. The Taliban. Like, here we are again in 20. What is it? What year are we in? The Taliban.
20 years we couldn't defeat them, and like, then they took.
I'm just done with.
They
all of
took
this.
Back Afghanistan in like 24 hours.
And it's like, oh, Biden did this and Trump did. It's like, you remember like we went over there like 20 years ago.
Yeah, they're all the same. It's been four presidents already.
Stupid, dude.
Moving on.
I mean, anyway, but
Whoa, dude, that's a seizure right there. Epilepsy warning.
Wow.
That's a nice. We got a new lighting system in here, folks.
God damn.
And it's hey, like you can't see it.
Since we're not taking a photo, how about we point that one the other way?
Holy
there we
shit.
Go. Thank you.
Who
Jesus
did that fucking
Christ.
Movie Bliss, Matt?
Joe Bigos.
This is a Joe Bigos
this
podcast.
We're in the middle of Bliss. Dude.
Holy shit.
This is VFW right now.
We're in a dark ass room with like flashing colored lights.
But
okay, sorry, that was a mistake.
I'd like to point out though that we just had our very rare second full moon in the House of Aquarius.
The blue moon, if you will.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was interesting. It was a blue moon. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a blue moon, Jorge. I'm glad you knew that.
I know more about space, dude, than you'll ever forget. Okay. How about that?
All right.
No, we were actually going to fuck with you about something, and then we looked it up to see if there was a full moon.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember either.
We were looking it up because we were going to say something about like the moon or full moon or some shit.
Or the vernal equinox.
And
or
George
some
was
bullshit.
Like, oh, there was a blue moon like 2 days ago.
There was.
Yeah.
It was dope.
That's all right, cool.
You could feel the juice.
Maddie Dingalingy.
Yeah. Maddie Dingley.
Dingling. Did you play or watch? Anything good?
I've been playing Dead by Daylight, of course. Fang Man got a new outfit.
I know.
I'm sure you saw.
I restrained myself.
I was like, I'm going to get a text in 2 minutes. Watch.
I was going to hop into your fucking Discord.
Yep. It'd be like, Fang Man get a new outfit. She did. It's adorable. I love it.
What was the outfit?
It's like an e-girl outfit. She's got like long blue hair and those headphones with kitty ears, and she's got a sweater that says Shining Lion on the back, and has like a cute cartoon lion, and she's got like big like knee-high socks.
Okay.
Hella fucking kawaii. And then I've been watching Eastbound and Down and the Wayans Brothers, and I watched Toxic Avenger because it's fucking tight. Have you seen Toxic Avenger yet?
Nah, not since I was very young on HBO at a friend's house.
you should watch it. It's free on Amazon Prime.
All right. What about you, Riggedy Rhett?
I watched a couple. Oh, I watched a new Neil Blumkin movie.
Oh, you did. I was going to try to watch that shit.
God dang it.
Did you watch it?
No, I just...
What?
I'm...
Watch it, bro.
I don't want
to. Watch it, bro.
Watch it, bro.
Watch Benny Loves You, bro.
The last...
Yeah, just stop being a sourpuss and watch
it.
The last couple
pretend
years...
Pretend you're an olive and get pitted, bro.
...of our directors falling from grace has just really bummed me.
Yeah. You know what? Stop being a sourpuss and watch Fritz Lang's Metropolis, bro.
Neil Marshall. Neil Blomkamp.
Blumpkin. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong, after 20 years of greatness... Finally makes one bad movie.
Guillermo del Toro.
Here's the greatness. You know, I did see the trailer for Antlers. Antlers is coming back out.
Antlers does look super dope.
Yo, well, I started watching that and I'm like, ooh, what is this Wendigo movie?
Wendigo.
And then it's like Antlers. I'm like, I forgot all about like that
2 years ago.
Almost. Yeah, dude, I'm stoked on that. That's
end of October, right?
I think so.
Is that shining right
in
your face, brother?
Yeah, there we go.
Oh. So
it's okay.
It's okay. No, Demonic. For those Neil Blomkamp, for those who don't know, because I forget, not everyone is a total fucking dork, right?
No, I think anybody who's listening is a total dork.
Not anybody. Well, even if they are, they're sucky dorks, so they don't know shit.
Brian's hella cool,
bro. That shit's a mistake.
There you go. He did a movie called District 9, which was. Very well received and
one of the best sci-fi films.
Milms? sci-fi milfs.
It was
even nominated for Best Picture.
That shit was incredible,
and it was a great. It was you loved that movie. I think it's good.
I love that movie too. That's one of the few movies. So most movies I watch, I don't watch more than once. That movie I've seen 15, 20 times.
Yeah,
like that movie. Fucks.
Yeah, I don't.
And it continues to fuck.
Yeah.
And then he did Elysium. And then he did Chappie. And then he hasn't directed a feature-length film since Chappie, by the way, which was crazy. So that's about 6 years ago.
You know, I...
But he did a bunch of those little short film things, didn't he?
Right, and I want to...
The oatmeal stuff.
I want to do my usual shtick and piss off people here. People that were very, very excited about the prospect of him doing an Aliens film because he had this idea to do a direct sequel to Aliens, act like part 3 and 4 never happened. And of course, because he's got really strong sensibilities with design elements, people were like through the roof with this fucking idea. And that's when Ridley Scott said, nope, I guess I'm going to have to come back and do another fucking Alien movie real quick because it's like he didn't want someone getting their clutches.
But then he did Covenant.
He did Covenant, which was a fucking mess. However, it's a mess, but it's got some parts in it that are like.
There's some things.
There's some
things. What happened to that episode?
Fassbender's fucking dope. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm personally glad that Blumpkin never fucking got a hold of Aliens and shit on it more than it already has been. Based upon the evidence of this recent film, Demonic, which it feels like saying direct to video doesn't make sense anymore because most things are direct to streaming now.
Yeah.
But if this was like direct to Redbox, you know what I mean? Like direct to Redbox and skip streaming.
That fucking, what you call it, bodyguard's wife's Hitman thing, that's already on Redbox.
That's dope. Well, the fucking timelines are faster.
Speaking
now.
Of which, I heard. Oh, sorry, finish.
Yeah,
dude. The premise is interesting. He has some interesting ideas, as usual with Blomkamp, and the movie's fucking horrible. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm really eager to see you watch it, but it does have a demon in it, which is like he comes in via VR and people's memories and et cetera, et cetera. And the demon, though, is personified as this kind of like humanoid bird creature. And there's a part where she's got like some dagger that she's like imagined to be like a protected talisman. And it's this bird-headed humanoid being like, where the fuck did you get this? What the fuck is this? And like, that's why I was like, I hope Jorge has seen this.
Wow. So it's like a shitty version of Lord of Tears.
I guess.
You should watch Lord of Tears.
You keep saying that. And there's that horse head, that other one?
Oh, yeah, dude. Watch the animal movies. They're fucking tight.
Watch the animal movies. So that movie's bad.
Bro, watch them, dude.
Yeah, Demonic was a fucking mess, dude.
Okay.
It's really bad.
See, the thing is, well.
And the cool idea about, like, the Vatican having weaponized fucking priests. Like, that were like, you know, they're doing weaponized exorcisms.
They're kicking ass for the Lord.
Yeah, well, like, that's kind of an interesting notion.
I liked it better when it was Constantine, dude.
They barely do anything. Of course you did. They barely do anything with that. They introduce it in the second hour of the film, and then barely do it for about 15 minutes. So, yeah. What? It seems like you keep wanting to say something.
Right? No. You mentioned, who mentioned the bodyguards?
I did.
Mateo.
I've heard good things about Free Guy.
So have okay. I.
And I'm interested in watching it, but I
was shocked because that looked fucking horrible to
right?
me.
Right?
It was made by a YouTuber, oddly enough.
Really?
Jacksepticeye.
Really? My little sister used to love him when she was like he's fucking, five.
He's more huger than ever.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's tight.
So anywho, I'll watch that probably soon.
I like that he's Septic Guy. Did you ever watch Septic Man? It's like about a shit guy. Like,
you asking me about that?
I mean, you should okay. watch Septic Man.
Anything else?
That'll be first on his. Yeah, I tried to watch Candyman: Farewell to the Flesh, the sequel, the 1995 sequel to the original, which I
Arrivederci alla carne.
Took about 30 minutes. 30 minutes. There is a funny part though, where there's a radio guy because it takes place in like Louisiana, right? And the guy on the radio is like, "Do you know what a carnival is in Latin? It means farewell to the flesh." He's all, "I like that. You got that right." So that part was cool. After that, I had to change it.
Garth Brooks?
It sounded like a white dude trying to sound like a southern black dude on the radio.
Like but, Garth Brooks.
Yeah, that movie, I got 30 minutes in. We had to change it. And then I watched a thing on HBO called The White Lotus. Have you heard about this?
No.
The White Lotus is no. this. It's a 6-part miniseries. It actually got greenlit for a second season. But
so it's not a 6-part miniseries.
Well, it's so far
caught him.
So far it is. It started as that. But it's about these upper class white folks going to a resort in Hawaii. And it's a satire.
Of course.
And it's a satire. Exactly. It's a satire of these people. And they all kind of had this void in their lives. And it starts off. And
oh, is this the
Mike White writes and directs it.
Hmm.
But the first couple episodes were like, okay, am I going to commit to this? And the only reason I was trying to give it a shot is because I heard it's really satirical and like incisive with the satire. And it has a good hook in the first 5 minutes where I was like, okay, what the fuck's happening here? By episode three, like all the shit they set up in the first two episodes just starts falling like a fucking house of cards, like in the best possible way. These people's lives are just like a shit show. And it's like, okay, now I must watch the rest of this.
Huh. Okay.
And it wraps up pretty well.
All right.
Yeah. So, beyond that, it's good old fucking RuPaul.
All day. RuPaul all day.
About to finish up season 7.
Jesus Christ.
You guys are just mainlining.
You guys started
this shit
at the beginning and you're about to finish season 7?
Yeah, we got to switch wow. and find another.
Isn't that one of those shows that has like 20 episodes per season?
Hulu. I know it's like 12. But okay. then they have like the All Stars, which we haven't watched, but Hulu only has like either 7 or 8 seasons, so we have to go to like Peacock to get all 12 seasons.
Peacock's not a bad app, dude.
That's what yes, I've heard. It is, bro. No. It's got good selection, but the WWE part of Peacock is a fucking mess. It's a hot mess.
Well, speaking of Candyman, real quick, did you guys see the reviews for the new one?
No. I'm trying to go in completely blind.
Okay, well,
and I'll get to why later.
So far, they're very promising.
Yeah, of course they are.
Well, why do you say that, Matt?
We'll talk about that later.
Because of Jermaine?
Wow.
Okay, go on.
With what?
What have you watched?
Oh, I finished up, we finished up Brand New Cherry Flavor.
Yeah! Now we can talk about it.
I freaking agree with you.
The back four is a little weak, right?
The third is kind of a mess.
Yeah, it like gets to episode 4 and everything's just like holy fuck, and then it never quite reaches
the last
that
third
holy
of the
fuck.
Whole thing.
I think the last third is weak. Well, I just it's not weak.
They drew
it's
out weak. 2 hours into four.
It's weak by comparison.
Yeah, it's still good, but it just feels
weak.
The
resolution with Lou, I felt was a little bit just kind of like bleh. There it is.
Yep.
And the resolution with Boro, I thought was a little bit like, bleh, there it is. Mm-hmm. Like, oh,
everything's
cool.
Done. Okay.
And we've ended it. And she's going to fucking Puerto Rico or wherever.
Brazil,
fucking,
yeah.
Brazil. But overall, man, that fucking series was awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Super fun. There's some real good gross out shit going on in
dude,
there.
Dude, so yeah, when he puts his hand in her side, like,
That's, that's Existenz. That's like Cronenberg all the way right
See,
there.
But like even in Existenz, like nothing in that made me cringe like this did. Like something about that was just
dude. The moment, ew. Like when she was like touching it, I was like, "Oh, hello."
Yeah, no, I was like, "Ew, ew, ew," and then he touched it. And I was
like, "Ew, ew, dude!" I was like instantly like, "Oh, dude, no. she gonna fuck herself."
No, that was ugh. Makes my back like tense up even just thinking about it.
And like I just really enjoyed too. Like, I mean, you've got these basically, you know, three or four characters that are decaying the entire time. Your main characters like Boros decaying the entire time. Lou, you know, he's got this fucking tapeworm in his brain, and it's just like,
oh, so crazy.
All that stuff. It was really well done. It wrapped up a little bit, kind of, in my opinion, a little bit dull.
Well, to me, what started happening, especially the last episode, even, but maybe the last couple episodes, was there's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, like let's go somewhere and go back to the mansion.
It was like kind of like somewhere,
back to the mansion.
Yeah, like a bad Metroidvania game where you have to keep going back and forth to the areas.
It's like Resident Evil.
Yeah. Like, it's like why are we going back to the mansion?
Well, see, that's it. Like, feels like they took 2 hours worth of content or an hour and a half and they stretched it into four episodes.
I could see that a little bit. I really did appreciate like everything that we've said so far and that you guys are saying, the atmosphere and the design elements of it.
Oh, dude, I mean, visually the thing was the fucking.
Because even the parts we're complaining about were still good, but they only feel weak in comparison to itself.
And as far as the stuff in it that's just really effective and just really odd, like, you know, for lack of a better word, I mean, in a good way, like it's one of the odder things I've seen on it as a Netflix original.
Yeah, but just her, like her character, how she's just so honest about literally everything from the beginning. She's just like honest and kind of indifferent about a lot of stuff where she's like, oh, I'm putting a curse on him. I need his pubic hair. You know, like to everyone, she's always on it. She's never hides anything or tries to sneak around. She's like, this is exactly what's happening. Well, and no matter how fucked up it is.
She has these dramatic examples of the reality of the mechanics of this shit. When she starts throwing up cats, you know, she's which like,
can you explain the cats to me?
Well, I mean, that's just that's
she's
that's
the daughter of
that's Boro's way to sort of eat people's essence, essentially.
Okay.
Well, and she's the daughter of this other lady who had like, from my understanding, it was Boro's old enemy, right? Am I wrong?
I think so.
And she had like a magical essence, and that's why she's like, you have a gift, and you're gonna pay me in your gift, and this gift is that, like, you know, remember when she's like, no more throwing up cats. And so, the cat gets born out of her side.
Oh, that was wild.
So in any case, Boro knows a way, metaphysics-wise, to extract things from this woman that she's not even aware of because she's not aware of her lineage, right? And so she knows that this woman is ripe with this shit that she doesn't want money.
So is she wants kind these of things, like...
She can give birth to familiars.
But basically. Is she, like, eating her children, kind of?
No, she's not eating they're familiars.
She's eating her essence, basically.
But like if her mom was like this jaguar type lady, she's got like this cat DNA, right? So like
you might be thinking a little too literally. I think the cats are merely symbolic, like a symbolic thing for her to
I don't think they are, because she throws up cats in front of people in jail.
That's true.
No. I mean, in terms of Boro's usage of the cats.
You mean thematically?
Thematically, I feel like the cat could have been a gerbil.
It's feminine feline energy. Like it's that thing. Like you get what I'm saying? No.
Yeah. No. No. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's instead of like. I don't mean to generalize, but the canine thing is like, you know, men are dogs and Berschlager. Oh, yeah. And Berber Derper Sherber. Does that help you at all, Matt?
The Berber Derper Sherber does.
Yeah, that helped.
That definitely got it. It made so much more clear to me.
Wow.
That one came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's... And loud, too.
That's really loud. Sorry, sorry
about that. How goes your Game of Thrones?
Dude, here's what you know what I'm realizing?
Is that it's bad?
Show got bad earlier than I remember.
Yeah, it was like after season 3.
Yeah.
That's what people say.
Yeah, so
I like season 4.
The stuff that...
Well, but that's when it started like completely veering from the source material. It was
spectacle over yeah.
Yeah, I think over the moment substance. I think the moment Tyrion starts to become like a minstrel is a bit of like, you know, where things start to depart from like the...
It's fan service.
Yeah, you know, and they're
responding like to his popularity on the show.
All of the stuff with... God damn it. What's her name? The mother of fucking dragons.
Her. Daenerys.
All that Targaryen. Stuff with Daenerys when she's like, you know, she's got audiences with...
I love that she's got 30 names and you can't think of one.
I can't think of it. Well, I got the Mother of Dragons. Oh, yeah, that's one of them. Stupid.
True.
You know, when she's like, you know, holding audience with these like, you know, people of these realms. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this again.
Lots of talking.
We're going to do this again. Okay. All right. I guess I'll just wait for the Red Wedding. And then after that, it's all fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
Battle of the Bastards was tight.
I don't think that show was as good as we remember.
Maybe not, but those first couple seasons.
Yeah.
That was good. And I do love Ramsay Bolton, and I think they picked a great guy to do it. Did you ever watch Misfits?
I did. That was one of my favorite shows.
Have you seen Misfits?
No.
You should probably watch it. It's good. It's like a... No. It is a British show.
Oh, good.
About like these kids. There's like an electrical storm and they all wind up getting superpowers and then they like kind of find each other and like, but they're all basically like delinquents.
Yeah, they're like a community service group.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So
like, I like that. What's funny about
some of the powers are completely useless though. I think there's a guy that like cries milk.
Yeah.
Like.
I like that Ramsay Bolton's character in Misfits is kind of like a inconsequential character, but in Game of Thrones
he's such a big fuck
badass presence. Yeah,
he's my favorite.
He's good.
Like, that character,
that boy, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much it.
Cool. Good stuff.
Well, why you want to tell the listeners why Theon Greyjoy is your favorite character?
Is he?
No. Oh, fuck no. That
fucked up.
No.
Okay, never mind.
I think the Onion Knight is my favorite character.
Davos, dude, Davos is tight. He was in...
I would have liked to see
Davos... He was in Let Us Pray.
...be on that fucking throne.
That would be a better choice than fucking Bran.
It made no sense.
It's going to be Sam.
And also, look, man, wait up, dude. I'm sorry to do this, but you're talking Game of Thrones. When they introduced all that, and they're like, oh, they haven't summed this up in the books... I thought it was a no-brainer that because they show this ability for warging, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bran is Bran. He's like Professor X, like, and the Chosen One, like, and he's like got these powers that are exaggerated because he was pushed out of the window. So everything needed to click into place. I'm like, oh, they're gonna get the dragons there at King's Landing, and Bran is gonna warg into a fucking dragon. Like that would make sense.
In the book, he became a tree. Like, he is a tree. Well, grew into the tree.
Well, if I was going to deviate from the book, I wouldn't have done it the way they did. I would have had him warg into the fucking dragon, have the dragons fight, and then have Bran die in the dragon, like, because he's connected to him mentally.
Because also, fuck Bran.
Yeah, and also, another way to go would have been no one gets the throne. Like, is that so wrong? Like, everyone's dead. Like, I would have preferred that.
Well, the funny thing is, somebody asked George R. R. Martin before. He's like, how do you see the story ending? And he's like, you know, it's a big open field and there's snow just starting to fall and like blah, blah, blah. He sets up the scene. He's like, and everyone is dead.
Fucking literally, Ash.
Everyone is dead.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, kill everyone. Like, don't let anybody win.
Well, that's the documentary version of this thing. Yes. That's how that will go.
I wanted Stannis the Manus to win, but didn't
work. You
know,
the other thing, too, is that, like, you know, you've got... They're building all of this lore on this show, right? With, like, why do they put these corpses in this configuration in a spiral?
And they never fucking capitalize on it.
And then nothing does anything. And it's like,
Well, that's because they take all the good shit... And, like, leave it out of the show. They just leave it in the book.
Well, yeah. And then the last two seasons, they just rush through everything.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly Jon Snow and Daenerys are together. Like, oh, okay.
But once that sixth book is about to come out, you bet your sweet bippy I'm going to read all five of those motherfuckers before it comes out.
You think it's going to come out?
I hope so. Like, I feel like it's got
to. I don't know. I'd like to care someday. I don't right now, though.
Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah. Well, no, but the books are incredible. And I feel like they'll hold up. I hope.
One of the only good things about the last season to me was that final battle between the Mountain and the Hound. And the towers
Clegane Bowl.
Yeah, and the towers crumbling and there's a dragon behind him. I'm like, this is high fantasy right now. Like, this is it. You know, like, this is one of those scenes. But anyway,
Any news we should get to, boys?
Probably. I don't know.
Candyman!
It's next week, right?
Yeah.
It is next week.
That's my looking news. For Candyman, bitch. Yeah.
How are you looking for Candyman, bitch? That's going to be good. I wonder if they do an homage to that scene.
Did you ever play that game? Oh, my God. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm out.
No, I've never played that game. Alzheimer's. Never heard of it. Jesus. It's that goddamn marijuana.
I couldn't come up with the game, but I know the fucking thing I wanted to tell you, but it doesn't matter. All right, anywho, we're going to take a quick break, come back to talk about a film. Psych, that's the end of the show. Goodbye, losers.
I got one!
But it's not going to be...
What are you?
It's not going to be like The Conjuring, right?
Some kind of whore. Jimmy Wani's newest whore masterpiece. Malignant.
Did you say Jimmy Wan?
Jimmy Wong.
Good old Jimmy Wong.
Good old Jimmy Wong. Ready for that Jimmy Schlong.
Ooh, give it to him.
Hey, Matt.
Saw, dude.
Can you guess what time it is, brother?
It's time to bang weenie.
It's time to bang weenie! You know what's coming out in September? On that motherfucking note, we're back!
Yeah!
Tell us all about that, Patronus.
Oh, this is tight.
Hey! Yeah. Hey, Matt!
Yeah!
Hey, Matt!
Yeah!
Just about... Patreon,
yeah,
aka OnlyFans for podcasters.
Yeah, so you know, like tonight we're doing a movie about like a guy built a house with bare fucking hands. Like you can live in a house, and you can love the house, but you can't really appreciate it unless you've been there and seen it from the ground up and know its guts. That's kind of the same with the podcast. Like you can like our podcast, but you can't really appreciate our stupidity until you're all up in the guts and you see how the sausage is made. And you get that with our exclusive content and our bonus episodes and the access to the Patreon only Discord.
I was right there with you until where the sausage is made, man.
Yeah, patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast is where you see how the sausage is made.
Holy frick.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Alrighty. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called The Night House, which actually came out about a year ago, premiered at Sundance, but we're just now seeing it in 2021. Directed by David Bruckner, written by Ben Collins and Luke Piotrowski. Starring Rebecca Hall, Sarah Goldberg, Von D. Curtis Hall, Evan Jonigkeet, Stacy Martin, David Abels, Christina Jackson, Patrick Klein, Crystal Swan.
You're doing a good job with these Anglo names.
And some other motherfuckers that you've probably never heard of. David Bruckner, who we are familiar with him for the best segment of VHS, which you love.
Which one?
The one with the big-eyed...
She cute.
The big-eyed sea monster.
Should we see Monster?
He also did The Ritual.
He also did The Ritual.
Nah, but we were saying the best one was Safe Haven, because Safe Haven's tight.
Well, I mean, I love Safe Haven, but you really like...
No. No.
That one.
What? No.
Will you stop contradicting him and just go along with it?
Sure, I love it. She's
he also directed one of the segments in Southbound, and also one of the segments in one of my favorite anthology films, Signal.
Jesus Christ.
This boy... Mm-hmm. This boy has
a lot of short films.
This boy's got a lot of stuff going for him. So, with all that said, Matthew?
Yes.
What'd you think of The Night House?
So I watched this movie twice. And that's because the first time I watched it, I dozed off quite a few times. Part of that was because I was tired. The other part is because this movie is fucking boring. I liked it better when it was Final Destination. I liked it better when it was The Invisible Man. I liked it better when it was like six other movies. Yeah, I did not enjoy this movie at all.
Okay.
Definitely just like Invisible Man. I could see exactly what he's saying.
Riggedy Rhett, what'd you think of The Night House, homie?
It may sound strange, but I actually kind of agree with Psych! I
got
that's
him.
Good. That's good.
I do agree with one thing he said, actually. So those inverted psych. Oh. There are films it reminded me of.
It's a psych black hole.
Well, look, it's got a haunted house thing going on. It's a little bit of a reworking of the haunted house thing. And The haunted house genre. Invisible Man is an interesting thing to bring up, which is not a bad thing to bring up. And occasionally it reminds me of better movies, you know what I mean? I could see that overall. That being said, I think it benefits from a really, really, really good performance from Rebecca Hall.
Yes.
I think it's very well directed by this guy. I don't think it's showy or flashy. I think it's subtle. I think maybe that's why, I mean, this movie does not rely on graphic violence, and it doesn't rely on shit. I mean, it's just not a very loud movie, honestly.
First 5 minutes, no dialogue.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm good with all that. I could see it's almost a little austere. It's almost a little dull by some people.
Too subdued sometimes.
It's almost a little dull for horror standards. But for me, because of all the psychological stuff going on, the thematic stuff, and the occult stuff, the occult stuff that it has in this is not like banged over your head either. Like when they show the two moons and the thematic stuff of duality, the ambiguity about the afterlife, it's actually kind of a philosophical movie because you have this idea that there's nothing. And then it's kind of like, you better hope there's nothing.
Well, and
because otherwise there's all this shit going on.
Thing that I want to tack on to with that is that, like, even nothing has a personality, which is fucking, like, kind of a rad concept to think about.
Right, because it's really about what people bring to things. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the end will make it or break it for a lot of people if they didn't fall asleep already. But
yeah, I made it through the entire second viewing.
Yeah,
because I was there.
The end
was daytime too.
The end got me, like, in the moment I'm a little jarred, and then as soon as I started leaving, I'm like, that's the best possible ending because this needs to be ambiguous, and this needs to be also the last line is like, there's nothing there. She's like, I know, and it's like, yeah, you keep saying that, like, you know,
good luck with that.
Keep hoping that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
Because now you've got all fucking enmeshed in this guy's psychology and bullshit, you know? So
I kind of love this movie.
All right.
And I think that visually this fucking thing is a treat. Rebecca Hall is just, thank God she is the most on-screen actor in this entire thing, because she tears this fucker up. There's a couple characters, like, you know, a couple ancillary characters that are weak.
And they're there to give certain, like, perspectives that she can say. And, you know,
there's
stupid,
one character that's a complete trope, and I'm like, oh, good, okay, great, we're doing this thing now. But, like, boy, does she turn in a performance that is just incredible. From moment to moment, I think Rebecca Hall has turned in a performance that is, like, maybe best this year of what we've seen. No irony.
We've seen a lot of bad stuff this
year. We've also seen a lot of good stuff. I mean,
Have we?
I mean,
St. Maud was very good.
And I'm talking about other movies too, like, you know, other things that aren't necessarily horror films.
Green Knight was very good. Pig was very good.
I have not seen Green Knight. I will say that.
I can tell because you haven't mentioned it.
So I will.
He sounded offended.
I will.
Well, I didn't want to ask in case you had seen
it. I will. Shit. I saw another thing that, God damn it. I saw that fucking Hugh Jackman movie.
Oh, Reminiscence.
I don't want to derail this, but God damn, dude. That thing was awful.
And that's Lisa Joy. That's Christopher Nolan's brother's wife.
It's like,
it is.
Okay.
She's one of the showrunners on Westworld.
It's like, yeah, it's like wanting to be Westworld, but you hit yourself over the head with a hammer and then wrote the movie.
Regulate ourselves now.
Yeah. Well, I've always been regulating, you idiots.
It's like Diet Nolan, but doesn't fucking work at all.
There you go. That's, yeah.
completely demystified of all its power.
What I said is not cool anymore.
Yeah.
But anywho, yeah. So going back to the Night House, dude. I love the lore building. I love the idea of this. You know, you've got this mystery of the reverse floor plan, and all of this. You know, even the demonology when you're trying to like run from a demon by like tricking it, I think is a really cool, clever concept on the haunted house idea.
Yeah, because what matters is that he believed that. That's how he had housed his. If it was mental illness. The mental model he had used is that he was being pursued by a demon, and this is how he was coping with his illness.
Right.
Now, if it was real, then it was causing mental illness. So, either way.
Well, and either way, he's still killing people to save his wife.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't, like.
In his perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that stuff to me is incredible, where you even if you follow the idea that he's saving his wife, like, he's also killing innocent girls at the same time.
Right.
Which is I kind of love that idea.
Why do you love that?
Well,
why don't you want to tell us why you love that?
Apparently. What? You thought it was boring?
Boring. I've seen it twice. I'm listening to you guys talk. I'm like, what? This is just apparently one of those movies where I missed the entire fucking point.
What?
Because I'm sitting here and I'm just like, okay, yeah. So I mentioned earlier that I'm trying to go in blind to Candyman, and it's because like trailers ruin things for me because then I get perceptions. So like I asked Rhett before we saw the movie, do you think this takes like inspiration from House of Leaves? And Rhett hadn't read it, but it's, you know, the trailer makes it look like the house just keeps like expanding and like it's just a bigger house with like lots of secret passages and stuff like that. And then when it's like this whole other thing, I got really disappointed by that. But the movie itself, I'm just like, okay, her husband's dead and she's sad and she's dealing with it really well. For it being like a week after her husband of 15 years shot himself in the head, she's very just like relaxed about the whole thing.
What I would bring to you on that is that I think that she's a very troubled person. I mean, she's had to establish that.
Yeah.
She's had to deal with her own death. And so, like, I think that would. I think
she's trying to disassociate. That's the probably has a habit of disassociating for her own shit, like he's saying. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. So I think that like her comportment during her husband's death after the fact, I think it just goes to show how much she's had to cope with reality in her own life outside of her marriage. And you know, and
apparently.
There are times when she's interacting with people, and yeah, dude, like that shit makes me laugh because like it's so deadpan because she's so fucking over it. Like, you know, when she's interacting with this mom,
I love that shit.
That whole scene, dude, I thought was one of the funniest fucking things I have seen in a long time.
Yeah, like what you want to be, you know? Like,
and she's and the mom acts all offended, like as if that's what she didn't want.
Yeah,
and it's like, bitch, what are you here for then?
And that's funny.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. Because she goes, yeah.
She played it extremely real.
Dude.
Like,
one of the most authentic feeling fucking people in a movie I've seen in a long time. Hands down.
It's because, you know why, dude? It's got that existential vibe, dude.
I love it.
It really does. No, I loved that scene, too. I was hoping you would like it. Because...
Well, so when Matt's talking about me laughing out in the theater, that's the shit I'm laughing at because I'm like, the hilarity of this fucking soccer mom being offended that, you know, she didn't make this meeting with this fucking child. And it's like, yeah, well, her husband just died, you dumb fuck.
Well, and by extension, it's again, like the stuff that people make, that people believe in and make a big deal while ignoring the big issues,
right?
Like, you know, terminality and death. It's like when people are grieving, when you're grieving, like when you're really grieving, like even if it's a loss of a relationship or something, but I mean, when you're grieving and you're put there, like other things, it puts other things in perspective.
It turns the volume down on basically everything.
Yeah. Like your shit just doesn't matter to me right now. Like I don't, you know, so I related to that, mm-hmm. but also I think that's a product of that she was troubled for a long time. She had, you know, I mean, she had struggled with severe, well, I think depression before.
Well, yeah. So she, I mean,
and dark thoughts.
She faced alcoholism. She faced death, and you know, and at the end of it, there was nothing for her, and I think that was troubling because she knew, like, you know, that her husband is dead, and there's, you know, maybe nothing for him there, and this sort of exploration of, well, is her husband alive? Is her husband, well, not alive, you know what I mean? Is her husband an entity or a ghost or whatever the fuck you want to call it? And you come to find out that, well, she's also wrong on that aspect.
Right.
I think it's a fascinating exploration of that part of the human psyche.
I think I see Matt kind of feeling alienated and also trying to understand what we're saying.
No, I'm trying to understand what you're saying, but I just like, I don't get any of this. I'm just feeling like this movie, I'm just feeling like this movie went way the fuck over my head. Cause to me, I'm just like, okay, this is like a story about like, yeah, sadness. Okay, cool. But then there's like a fucking ghost, but then her husband's a murderer. And then it's like, I guess cause I don't feel like that existential shit. Like that's why Martyrs didn't really affect me. And see, I thought this borrowed from Martyrs too, with the whole, like, there's nothing, but then like nothing is like a thing.
Well,
but
that's
like,
not borrowing.
How do you imagine nothing? Cause as soon as you start to imagine nothing, it's something. And
well, that's borrowing from, well, I'm sorry to be stupid. It's borrowing from reality. Like,
well, yeah,
the question, we don't know. Like fucking, we don't know. And the reason I liked it again too, is because it's not afraid to like be cynical on one hand, but it's also not afraid to consider possibilities on the other. But if you're going to be open-minded and consider possibilities, most people jump to like, oh, there's heaven and that's it. It's like, no, motherfucker, be open-minded. Being open-minded means it might be horrible.
Yeah.
It might be nothing but like, this might be as good as it possibly gets. And this is like a short
and little... And it's awful.
And it's absolute fucking... it's horrible. And it is an endless tunnel. And like something's trying to devour you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you might escape for a little bit called life. You know what I mean? Like, it could be like that. So then it kind of suggests this kind of like Lovecraft cosmic horror type thing.
Yeah.
But what it's really poking at there, I guess, maybe that's because, you know, I have had depressive moods and all that because I've actually, you know. And again, is that because I've had mental illness? Or is that because mental illness is a product of thinking that way?
Is it because you've had mental illness or has the mental illness had you?
Exactly. I can't tell. And that's also like, there's no way of knowing. There's just a shitload of no way of knowing. And that's why when I'm leaving, right as like I'm leaving a few seconds after being almost unsatisfied with the ending, I'm like, she's like, there's nothing. He's like, there's nothing there. She's like, I know. And it goes to credits, like, what the fuck is that? And it's like, well, that's it, Red. That's about it, you know?
What do you mean? It was clearly something there.
No, but what was there was the void.
That is the nothing.
It was a void that was there. You could see the outline of a void.
Because it, so well, I think that...
And that's not a little cute? Like, easy, I don't know. Well, to me, that seems a little fucking cute.
It's actually,
cute.
Again, I'm sorry, but it's philosophical, because when I talk about the void... Or nothing, I'm talking about something. Because I've given it a name. I've got ideas attached to it. When I say nothing, you have its contrary, which is something pop up. You're far away from nothing when you say that.
And I think also, it's a cool exploration of what we think of as like quote-unquote demons. Because like this entity or this nothingness is behaving very much like you would think a demon would behave, right? Like the classical like haunting that's, you know, a demonic presence, but in reality it's the black hole of
it's a manifestation of emptiness.
Yeah, a manifestation of emptiness and
it's your imagination trying to fill in the gaps. That's fucked up.
Which is super fascinating because like it's your own created demon.
So what you're saying is this movie is the Babadook.
Shut up. But it didn't have a kid that was annoying the fuck out of
kid,
him.
So I love it.
I was reminded because it was another film about grief and all that. I thought this is more
but far better done.
I don't know if it's Far Better Done. It just didn't have a screaming kid.
Far.
It's a different movie. It's a different relationship. That's a mother and a child. This is a grieving wife. So all the thematic and archetypal stuff that would come into one are not in the other.
You
know, dude,
it's got these little. It's even got these little details that if you're not paying attention, you miss. Like, so that moment where I think it's her mom. Am I wrong in thinking that's her mom? Anywho, doesn't matter.
Am I wrong thinking that's her mom?
Am I wrong? You know, gives her this fucking plate of food. And in the next scene, she's throwing it away, right? So you see her slide it in the trash. But literally in the next scene, she's eating from that plate of food. So, like, you got to put that together. Like, she pulled it out of the trash, probably heated it up.
I missed that. I watched it twice.
And so you think about all these little details.
I was just thinking about what a bitch she was for throwing away this person's
Well, because
like,
at that point, like, she just came from the funeral of her husband who killed herself 3 days earlier.
I love that was great, like you said. That initial no dialogue, and you have silhouettes of them talking in front of the house. Mm-hmm. And then you have her toss that shit in the trash.
And then 2 moments later, she's eating it.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
And it's, I know this sounds like a weird gripe.
Wait, but they had dialogue. They were talking on the porch.
It was just kind of like,
it's kind of muffled.
It was just Saturday.
You were getting the, by suggestion, what happened. Just by the suggestion of it. Not with like overt info dumps.
Yeah.
You know, which is like show, don't tell. And it was cool. Like, you know, I didn't have to hear like each sentence clearly to know what the fuck this was. So that's like pretty good storytelling. And then Rebecca Hall comes in and sells it. And what sells it more than fucking throwing away this fucking bitch's casserole? You know, like this. And then she starts eating it anyway.
Which is, I mean, I know, man. Like, I'm like,
look at Matt. He's all, what are you impressed by here?
I'm like, I don't get it. I don't.
The casserole, bro.
Casserole dish, motherfucker. Okay. I love it.
There was some. Okay, they do a lot of nice tricks, I thought, with, is she tripping, dude? Is she just fucking with the algorithm? You know what I mean? Or, no, but then...
Little homie?
Yeah, little, pull up, little homie. There's a house across the lake, and it's like, but there is a house... Wait, this is spoiler territory. Things turn out to be true that we're not... Some things turn out to be true, other things turn out not to be. Other things are left ambiguous, and other things you'll never fucking know, and that's kind of the point. But... the little figure she finds, that went a long way for suggestion to me. That went a lot further than like, you know, a lot of films that I see with graphic violence and this and that. I'm not saying all films, but a lot of films. It went like, that was like, it makes it very fucking clear what's going on here. And then like the stuff regarding infidelity and all that. But it's funny you fell asleep, because one of the themes of the movie is like, being awake and being asleep. And so times she's asleep and doesn't know she's asleep, and that's Matt in the movie.
I didn't think I really missed anything the first time when I was kind of nodding off, but then like when I watched it the second time, I'm like, oh wait, I don't remember this part. Like,
yeah,
I would lose like 30 seconds at a time.
Wow.
And yet another great conversation, like you said, there were some ancillary characters that weren't that great. They're almost there just to like be like, you're stupid, you know what I mean? Yeah. But they're there to say kind of like the outsider's common sense point of view. Like when they're at the bar with her,
I even think that scene is really well done.
I thought it was great because she starts talking like very loosely about this, which trips them out. And it's like, well, I'm glad that you're tripped out. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Like you're offended by a suicide joke.
She's the one grieving.
Yeah.
She's allowed to grieve this way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and then also the guy, she starts talking about the idea that they both had, she had dark moods and that they both, and that he got tangled up with her shit, with her psychological stuff, which is another spooky idea. And it's also kind of accurate with psychology and all that.
Yeah, like the idea that
and
that,
the guy's like immediately like, oh, that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, the idea that
psychopathy isn't contagious is kind of funny because in certain aspects it is.
Well,
like, especially when you live with somebody on a day-to-day basis, like you share that. You share those tendencies to mental illness if that's what you have.
Share all tendencies. I mean, it's a technical reality of human beings. How does fucking a city work? How does society work? Because you're sharing consensus about beliefs,
basically.
You've made, like, agreements about all sorts of shit. Matt's like, what the fuck?
No, that's cool. Like, I mean, I don't gotta be in, like, super in every conversation because I got nothing to offer for this. I got nothing for this movie, bro. Like, I honestly thought you guys were not gonna like it, and I'm like, I'm kind of flabbergasted. But like,
it even made room for one of these good old jump scares. This had I had such a ridiculous reaction to that,
dude.
Sophia started laughing out loud.
I had a thought. So the first jump scare, whatever. Like, okay, we got a jump scare.
What was the first one?
It was like I think it was the banging on the door when she was in bed.
Yeah.
The second one, dude,
where the lady runs by.
No, dude. Where the fucking music turns on.
Yeah, and it's when,
like,
she falls asleep.
And it's like daughters in the background. I'm like, Rhett, fucking, I bet he loves this shit. That's how Rhett wakes up every morning with fucking daughters blaring in his ear.
Sound like daughters, did it? No, the one I'm talking about is when she goes to check out the... And she doesn't know... We don't know at this point if it's real or she's dreaming it or hallucinating or whatever have you. But she starts seeing ladies run by at night. Which is eerie as fuck, and that's not a jump scare at that point, but it's just eerie, and I'm like, fuck, like, go back in the house. Like, but you're curious, right? Yeah. And it's the curiosity and all that. And then, out of nowhere, another lady runs by. When it wasn't, like, played like a jump scare, but I was completely fucking unprepared.
And then these fucking chicks are yeeting themselves off of a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, you start to formulate the idea of what's happening.
Yeah.
I think right there, I kind of started getting like the kernel of an idea of, okay,
what's it's dream logic, right?
Right. Yeah. So what's the core problem going on here? So I thought, my initial thought was that he had somehow found out when she died that, you know, he had to keep her away from the demon.
Yeah.
And I didn't really put it together, obviously, until you see the bodies in the fucking, you know, in the under the floorboards.
The bodies hit the floor.
Yeah. It would be really cute of me to say that, like, oh, I had it figured out, you know, from that moment. But I think I start to formulate the idea of him trying to confuse the entity or whatever the hell it is, when in reality, like, I think that entity wasn't ever confused. It was just happy eating the souls of these people, whoever they were.
Sure, it's another ruse. Like, yeah, bring me, yeah, cool. Bring more.
Keep bringing me more. Like, right. It doesn't matter to me who's dying. It's hilarious that you think that black hair and, you know, pretty face.
That's his personal pathology.
Exactly. And I thought that stuff was fascinating.
See, it was. I agree. Because that's old school, like, Hitchcock psychological shit with... Yeah, with this other stuff, with the haunted house thing,
mm-hmm.
there's several. Yeah, there's a lot there.
The few moments that the house sort of goes into, like, reversey flippy mode.
Yeah,
I thought were kind of a little cute.
I'm glad they didn't CGI that bullshit or do something. You know what I'm saying? No, because with a lesser director trying to be flashier, they could have just tried elaborate fucking sequences.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yep, I really appreciated its subtlety with that. Like, in the reflective surfaces, the mirrored things, the profiles where it would turn and you'd see the outline of a figure. Like, that was effective to me, you know?
The first time. No, I think, like...
All 30 times.
I think, like, the last few, I think I actually, I think I may have laughed. Because it was like the hallway and it flipped over and I was like, oh shit, what have you done? That's a mistake.
Well, what I took it as at that point was, again, show don't tell. Like, at first, it's not the husband pursuing her. It's the entity that missed her in death pursuing her.
Right.
You know? And so it's a way of showing that
which even...
Well, I mean, except for the fact that he literally said, I'm not Owen. And then he said, I'm the thing.
Right. So it's not the husband pursuing her. You know what I mean?
But he told you.
The idea that
he told her that
the entity even has a face is kind of funny to me. Like, why would it have a face? But I get it, because you can't have just a fucking nothing on screen for
why an you hour. Have a face.
Exactly.
It's the same reason. Because you can't just have a nothing for 80 years while I'm talking to you. Right.
So, 80? That's optimistic, for this movie, brother.
Why do you have an epidermis? You know what I'm saying? Does that work that way? No. Matt, I feel real fucking.
No, you guys, dude, you guys are digging it. So good. Like,
so good.
What I'm not getting, though, I think this is important. It doesn't sound like you hate it. It just sounds like it's.
I was just bored. Like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hate it. I didn't think anything was bad about it. Like, if I thought it was bad, I wouldn't have watched it again today to try to, like, remember it. But I just. You know, granted, I dozed off a lot during the first time, so I'm glad I watched it again to fully understand. But, like, I mean, I clearly don't fully understand, but at least I saw the whole movie. This movie is just not for me. There's nothing in it for me, like, at all. And I agree with what you guys are saying about, you know, how it looks and how it's directed and the acting performance, but just, like, okay.
Okay. Hmm. I think and again, when I say this at the beginning, I'm trying to be fair and acknowledge how other people's tastes are. When I call it dull, I don't think it's dull. I could see how people would think it's dull, but it's because it's actually, I'm impressed by how it looks, but I'm impressed by what it suggests.
Yeah.
With what, and it doesn't show, it suggests other stuff.
The restraint that this director shows.
Where it's ideas.
In,
not for gore, I mean about its bigger ideas.
No, the restraint that is shown in getting to the point that this husband killed himself on a boat.
Fuck yeah, they didn't.
Naked.
Didn't sensationalize
you this. You don't get like a police report that was like, and the husband was naked.
You don't get on stupid a boat, shit like that.
And it's like, and his clothes was neatly folded next to him. What's the mystery? Like, you just start to.
They're not trying to shock you.
Yeah, you just unpack this stuff slowly. Like, you see, you know, when she unfolds, you know, when she opens this box of evidence, and you've got his folded up shirt, and you got the gun, and you got all this. And then you show a little bit of a flashback. In that moment where she's dreaming or not dreaming, where he's standing on the water by the dock, I thought was fucking a cool little freak out moment. And I was...
And he's got a great ass!
He's got a great everything, dude.
No, yeah.
Well, his nose is pointy.
I mean, he could fuck me with it.
I just was looking for something because they showed that ass. And Sophia's like, hey. And I'm like,
shut the fuck. Fuck. He's what, like, can you not?
You want some mistake?
You want to fuck him or what?
Whoa. Also, like when she's like
going, apparently
when she goes and has that conversation with the young chick at the bookstore and all that, I thought all that shit worked really well.
Yeah.
All this shit worked out. And it again, fuck. If you didn't have an actress that could carry this entire thing like that, we'd be snooze fest. I sleep.
We need Neil Marshall's wife sleep. In this role.
You slept anyway.
He
sleeps.
I know. But imagine if it had if it had that Neil Marshall's wife doing this role. That
Charlotte Kirk.
Yeah, that one. Captain Kirk.
I remember her name of all fucking people. Why?
Because we spent a lot of time with her this year.
Too much time, if you ask me, brother.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, man, I like the last scene on the rowboat, you know, like it's all red and he's like, come back with me. And she's kind of like figuring it out. Like, what do you mean come back with you? There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't come back. You can't go back with nothing.
Like, this keeps me safe. The nothing keeps me safe from you. Like, but then, and when I want something, I'll return to the idea, you know?
What?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's flexible.
I don't get what
because
you're
it's up to her.
All.
She's like, if there's nothing, like, then you're just fucking bullshit.
You're like, there's nothing, but the nothing keeps me safe from nothing.
The nothing keeps the idea that there's nothing after in the afterlife keeps her safe from entertaining the idea that this is a demon. It lets her know, like, no, this is your mind trying to cope with your own dark thoughts and your grief.
So it's like me on mushrooms, where I'm like, I'm just on drugs.
Well, that's
Well, it's. Matt, it's kind of a cool exploration of you finish this film, and I don't think that it's ever certain, like, is it a quote-unquote demonic invasion, or is it just mental illness?
There'd be no way to know.
And there is no way to know. So you've got her at the end staring at the boat where you can kind of see the silhouette of a character, but is it real? Is it not? Is it...
I took everything literal. I'm like, oh yeah, that's death. Like, to me, that's why I was like, oh, it's like, well, final destination. Take it literally. See, I took it like, you it was like final destination way. Where it's like, oh yeah, well, you cheated death and now, you know, you're at the top of death's list and he's coming to get you. And,
well, that but then would be they the put, narrative she likes but if then she doesn't they
put
want
this
nothing.
Weird, then they put this weird love story with her and death and I was just like, well, nobody's just dying in crazy
and
ways.
I did want to see a little more sexy time with her and the nothing.
Right? Like they were getting all fucky and then she's like, "Oh, wait, you're not my dead husband."
I wanted that to go a little bit further.
I wish I hadn't seen any of that in the trailer in this case too.
Yeah.
Any of that scene.
See, that's why you don't watch trailers.
Well, in my case it's even worse because I see a lot of movies in the theater. So I saw the trailer for The Night House over the past few months in excess of 10 or 11 times in the theater.
That's why you show up 20 minutes after it says the movie starts.
I'm not going to do it.
Especially with assigned seating.
Yeah, you might catch one trailer, but even still, one trailer versus seven.
In fact, I was starting to hate on this movie just because I'm like, oh, here's this fucking trailer again. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was glad that the film.
I was glad.
I didn't. Oh, small thing. I don't know why. In the scene at you, like you said at the beginning, is so good at establishing the mood. The director has this vice grip on the atmosphere the whole movie. Mm-hmm. These little trinkling piano parts, though, like dun dun.
Yeah,
will you stop with that?
Yeah, they were almost a little bit like, hey, you see what we're doing?
Like, stop.
You see?
That's what reminds me, it is a Hollywood studio mainstream horror movie.
Yeah, they were like, you know what, dude, this is a really spooky scene, but can we punch it up a little bit with just, what do you think? What can we toss in the back? I don't know.
Cling, cling. Cling, cling.
Got it.
Right, right. Yeah, we need some of the score was like much more interesting than that, but yeah. It's a little generic.
Damn, son. I knew you were not a fan.
It's in my top five for the genre so far this year.
But you were just straight up not good.
I'm so middle on this. Just like,
so you still think it's not as good as Old, then, in other words.
I mean, like, at least there was entertaining
still
bits
better than
he saw, at least I didn't fall asleep in
still
Old
better, still better than Mandy.
I enjoyed Mandy.
I'm just kidding, don't do this.
Yeah, no, I like, you know, not every movie's got to be good or bad. I guess this movie just like wasn't this movie was not for me at all. I completely missed the point, like, for whatever reason, but I didn't get it. It's plain and simple.
All right.
The nothing will find you, Matt. He's all it has found me.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Found me a long time ago.
He's like, look, dude, the nothing finds me every day of my life.
Oh, in your case, then.
MDD, NFG, Matty Ding Dong. No,
the something will find you. How about that?
Fuck, I wish. I hope.
Do you, though? See, that's this movie. Do you hope that the something will find you? Because you might have been better off with the nothing. That's this movie. The Night House.
Okay,
never mind.
Wow.
Oh, you like that shit? Okay, so let's do next week.
What are we talking about next week, buddy?
Candyman. We're here looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah.
It's going to be dope. I sure hope. It's going to be dope one way or another, because if it sucks, it's going to be fun. And if it's great, then it's going to be a breath of fresh air.
A breath of fresh ass.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 322. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Ree. Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Maddie Dingley.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.